If you have a Bible handy, turn to two places this morning, Matthew chapter 8 and Acts chapter 2. We'll be looking at those two chapters in that order. We've been studying the life of Paul here at Calvary Wichita. We took 3 years, we studied through the life of Christ chronologically. When we finished that up, the next logical thing to do, it seemed, was to follow the footsteps of Paul. And so we have been for several months now. We began in Acts. We made our way all the way to just shy of Acts 15, and we jumped down into Galatians because it's my conviction that's when Paul wrote the letter to the Galatians after his first missions trip, after planting churches in the region of Galatia. I believe he wrote that letter right before the Jerusalem Council. Not everybody agrees, but that's okay. That's where we studied it. And over the last few weeks, we've jumped back into Acts, and we've made our way last week to the first dozen or so verses of Acts chapter 18, which takes Paul all the way to Corinth. And it's from Corinth that Paul writes his letters to the Thessalonians. So we will, Lord willing, starting next week, be jumping out and studying through 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and then continue using the book of Acts as the backbone of our study, but jumping out into the various epistles chronologically at the various points at which Paul wrote them. So it's a fun way to study the New Testament, to study the Pauline letters if you've never thought about doing it that way. But that's next week. Next week, we're going to start a study in 1 Thessalonians that months ago, when I started outlining it, I titled What the World Needs Now. Who knew, right? But this morning, we're going to hit pause on our footsteps of Paul study just for a week and talk about, because we kind of have to, talk about where we are and where we're going as a church, as the Church of Calvary Chapel, Wichita, our local fellowship, and as the Church Universal, the Church Worldwide. We made our decision to suspend live service, in-person service, and go completely online less than 48 hours ago. We're a little late to the party. But on Friday, we spoke as pastors, elders of the church. We met online, actually, and decided the loving thing to do for our body and for the community would be to join the online revolution. Since announcing that move, I've been met with, I guess you could say, two categories of response, two buckets, two kinds of reaction. And the first has been along the lines of, that's radical. That's so different. This is unheard of. And that isn't exactly true. And it's not true in at least two different ways. I mean, live streaming is not new. The technology has been around for years. There are whole church movements at this point that are predicated upon online service. That's their model of ministry. But that's actually not what I'm talking about. When I say what we're doing this morning isn't new, if you've made your way to Matthew chapter 8, a pastor friend of mine brought this passage to my attention this week. Matthew 8 will start in verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him," because that's what Jesus does, right? The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I'm also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, I say, come, and he comes. To my servant, I say, do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard that, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I've not found such faith, not even in Israel." Skip down to verse 13. Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed that same hour. What just happened? The word was spoken. The word was spoken by the word, if you think about it. The word was spoken by Jesus, and it had power, right? It made an impact. It made a difference. The word of God brought change in a different location than where it was spoken. Jesus spoke in one place, and the words he spoke changed a life, literally. Brought about healing all the way across town on the other side of Capernaum. See where I'm going? And it gets even crazier when you think about it this way. Why was that person, why was the centurion's servant not with him? Why was he all the way across town? Why was he at home that day? Because he was quarantined. My point, of course, the power of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God's word is not limited by location. He's the Lord of what? Time and space. And the church used to know this. The church used to take this for granted, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God's word extending far beyond the building in which the body came together, assembled together on Sundays. The church used to know that. Next week, when we start in 1 Thessalonians, we're going to see Paul writing to his friends, and in that letter, praying for his friends and speaking of daily, constantly interceding for his friends, ministering to his friends, even though as he writes the letter, he's 200 miles away in Corinth. Even though he's not able to be physically with them, he was still utterly convinced, completely certain that he was still able to make a difference in their lives. The end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 will be there in a few weeks. Paul laments not able to be present with his friends. He's sad about it. It wasn't his first choice. He writes, "The enemy kept me from being with you. I wanted to be, but he wouldn't let me. I couldn't be. Circumstances constrained me." But circumstances didn't constrain his ministry. He said, "Yeah, this is disappointing. This isn't what I hoped for. This isn't my first choice." But that didn't mean ministry stopped. It just took a different form for a season. A couple in the church, well, a brother from the church and a sister, beautiful, brilliant woman from one of our sister churches in St. Louis, were married on Thursday. Some of you know who I'm talking about, and you're saying to yourself, "Wait a minute, I think they got married yesterday, Patrick." Actually, they didn't. They got married on Thursday, which, you're right, wasn't the original plan. The original plan was that they would be married on Saturday, kind of a conventional day for a wedding. Except the state of Missouri intervened. They found out on Thursday afternoon that the state of Missouri was enacting a ban on large gatherings, large assemblies, effective midnight Thursday night, Friday morning. And so very quickly, in a matter of less than 4 hours, they arranged to meet and be married. They assembled friends and family. They reached out to the minister, who happened to be the brother's uncle, which was convenient. But they found a church that wasn't even the church that they were supposed to be married in. And they got married on Thursday night. But here's my question. What if they hadn't pulled that off? That whole fire drill, that whole rearranging the plans and getting a venue and a pastor and a place and people. What if the state's restrictions had been imposed too quickly? What if people were too far away? What if that ceremony didn't happen before that curfew, that ban was put in place? Would their relationship have been canceled? Would they have just said, "Well, that's an omen. That's a harbinger. Wasn't meant to be. I guess we misconstrued God's call on our lives. It's been a great few months. Enjoy the engagement. Have a good life." No. No, their love for each other would have endured through those adverse circumstances, right? If you know them, you know that's true. Their call to love and serve one another would have persisted. Yeah, the choreography would have been a little different for a while. Or I guess technically it would have stayed the same for a while. They wouldn't be living together. They would be brother and sister to one another for a little bit longer. But in the same way, because we're not able to be physically together, because we can't live under the same roof, so to speak, right now, Our love for each other doesn't need to change. Our call to serve one another hasn't been suspended. That hasn't been suspended any more than Christ's love for us has been suspended, any more than his power in us has changed. Now, to those who say this is a completely new season, this is like unlike anything we've ever seen before, everything we know about ministry, we have to throw out the window, nothing about church applies, my answer is no, that's not really true. My answer to those who say this is completely different is slow down. There's less going on here. There's less different than meets the eye. But that's also my response to those who try to tell me what we're doing this morning is no big deal. See, that's the other category of response that I've gotten. On the one hand, we have people saying this is completely different. But there are also those who say, Patrick, this is just church in the 21st century. Glad you caught up. Thanks for joining us. We've been here for a while now. This isn't church. For those who are saying, hey, this isn't different, we're just having church online. No, we're not. And this is important. If you've tuned out, come back. If you're playing Words with Friends, pause the game. Listen to this part. We're not having church online this morning. Yet we're worshiping. We're praying. We're sharing a bit of a Bible study together, but we're not having church online. To those who look at this and say, well, this is really just business as usual. No, to you also, I have to say, there's less here than perhaps meets the eye. Because this isn't church, family. What we're doing here together, this isn't church. The church is the church. I know that sounds like I'm talking in circles, but what is the church? We are. We are as we do what? Let's look at Acts chapter 2 together. You know where I'm going, but let's read it together anyway. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42. They, the early church, the first generation of believers, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. Skip to verse 44. All who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. Verse 46, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. What did we just read? What is church according to the definition that we just read, according to the early practice that we just observed? If you had to boil it down, church in one word, well, I guess you could say church. But if you needed to find another word, how about community? Loving and being loved, serving and being served. What we're doing this morning is great. I mean, praise God that we can, right? And praise God that He's with us in it. But this isn't community, not really. I mean, yeah, a little. You can look at the comments on the Facebook stream and see the number of people that are viewing and look at some of the names. Hey, I know that guy. It's still not community. Think of it this way. If you go to a movie and you go with a bunch of people, you mostly sit in silence. Maybe you say a couple of things to each other, you know, unless you're those people. But mostly we go to movies and we watch the movie and we maybe say a word or two, like you're maybe typing out a comment or two. But when does that become community? It becomes community when you go somewhere afterwards and talk about it. Do you believe that scene? And do you believe it? And do you remember? And oh, when he... See, the thing that we have to remember about what we're doing is simultaneity. We're watching the same thing. You are. You're watching the same thing simultaneously. Simultaneity is not community. Not automatically. Community isn't the event. It's not the thing we're watching together. Community is people. People who love each other. People who reach out and connect with each other, text each other, call each other, visit each other, even if they have to maintain a social distance. Community is people who pray with each other and pray for each other and know how to pray for each other because they're staying in touch. Community is people who help each other, who bear one another's burdens, who know how to serve one another and do. Community is people who mentor each other and counsel each other, encourage and exhort each other, role models for each other. Community is people who celebrate together and grieve together, people who share Christ together, but share their life in Christ together. So that's church. The last 48 hours, less than that really, I've been kind of a crash course on virtual church, digital church, online church. And mostly I've been looking at the connectivity and the technology and the formatting, and I've learned enough to know that that's not where my gifting is. And praise God for the people who have jumped in to make this possible and who are working to make it even better by Wednesday and by next week. But the other thing that I've realized about virtual church, there's no such thing. A few years ago, as online streaming of church services exploded, there was a lot of conversation, there was a lot of discussion and debate, most of it online, ironically. But the discussion was this: is virtual church real? And the best thing that I read, I've read a bunch of different articles and essays and so forth on the subject. The best thing that I've read so far is one pastor who said, well, of course it's real, because the power of God's Word is always real. God's Word never returns void, online or anywhere else. Of course it's real. I don't care if you say it's real. Just don't say it's enough. I think that's exactly right. I saw a meme floating around this week. Maybe you did too. And it said, look out world, the church has left the building. I think that's exactly right too. I hope it is. I hope this giant discontinuity that COVID-19 has brought upon us is an opportunity for us to reconsider what it is to be the church. To get intentional about it. To not settle for being consumers of whatever product that I and the media team here managed to put together. Not consumers, but contributors. Participants. Members of a community of people using their spiritual gifts. The gifts that we've been talking about the past couple of Wednesdays. The gifts that God has given us to love and serve one another as the church. What we're doing right now, it's cool. It's different. Different is kind of fun in a way. By the time I get the hang of it, we probably won't have to do it anymore. But see, there's only a handful of us that are using our gifts right now. I'm teaching. Aaron was leading worship. We've got a team in the back of the room that's making the streaming possible. A couple brothers at the front door for anybody who might stop by, members of the body who didn't get the email, or visitors from the neighborhood. We've actually had a few. But that's it. Less than a dozen people. The church is more than that. The church is all of us. The church is the family that I hope is coming together at this time to deploy their gifts in places and times and in ways that God ordains. New and different ways, probably. New and different places, maybe, than we're used to. New and different ways to love and serve one another and bring Jesus to the world. Before coming on staff at my home church, gosh, almost 20 years ago now, I had a career working in organizational development, helping organizations build teams, build communities, really, if you think about it. I had one client, and it was actually my biggest client. It was so aggravating, but I couldn't quit them because they were my biggest client. And the thing that made them aggravating is they kept moving people around. This is a manufacturing company, and they'd move people around within the manufacturing plant. You're a fork truck driver? Not anymore. You're going to work in packaging. You're working in packaging? Not anymore. We want you on the line. You're working on the line? Hey, here's the keys. Go drive a fork truck. They'd move people around within plants. They'd move people from the manufacturing floor to the office and from the office to the floor. They'd move people from one plant to another plant, from one product line to another product line. The only constant in that whole organization was change, and it made it aggravating to do what I was trying to do, which was build community. Finally, one day, I found myself in a room with a senior vice president, and I asked her, I seized the opportunity. I said, "You talk about community all the time. It's one of the values that you have on every wall and every room and every plant anywhere that I've been. But you keep moving people around. Do you not see what this does? Do you not understand how this wars with your goal? It wars with teamwork. It wars with cohesion. It wars with unity. Why do you do this to yourselves?" She said something interesting. She said, "Well, we do it for a lot of reasons. There's a lot of reasons to cross-train people." She said, "But one of the surprise benefits that you're not thinking of, Patrick, because we're always shuffling the deck, we don't allow people to take unity for granted. Because we're always rearranging people, they can't escape knowing they have to work at being teams. They have to actively pursue unity. They have to build the sense of family that we want to have here." I'm still not sure I buy it as a management philosophy. But the funny thing is, that's exactly where we are as a church this morning. The deck has been shuffled pretty thoroughly to the point where we cannot take community for granted. If we ever thought that it could happen just by osmosis, by putting people together in a room on Sunday morning, we know that that's not possible right now. I don't think it ever was, but now we know we can't assume that community is just going to happen by spontaneous combustion. We need to pray. We need to plan. We need to make church happen. Talking about that couple that got married a few days ago, I came across an interesting statistic this week. Do you know 1 out of 3 couples who got married in the United States last year met online? The couple from our church didn't. They had known each other for a long, long time. But that's a staggering number. 1 out of 3 couples that got married last year met online. But here's the thing. I'm sure they met lots of different places. Facebook or eHarmony or Christian Mingle or Tinder. No, don't meet people on Tinder, please. But however they met, wherever online they met, the thing that all of those relationships have in common, they started online, but they didn't stay there. They didn't stay online. At some point before they got married, I'm confident every one of those couples took the relationship out of cyberspace and into the real world. And that's how I'm thinking about what we're doing here this morning. It's a great start. It's a great opportunity for us to meet up virtually But if we don't take the next step, if we don't take community out into the world, then all it is a start. And community will crash on the launching pad. Simultaneity isn't community. If this is all we do together, until we're loving and serving each other practically, we don't have church. We don't have church. Yeah, I know we live in a world with constraints. And we're going to have more, I'm sure, before we're done. It's part of why we started this week, because next week, I honestly don't think we're going to have a choice. Yeah, we have barriers to community we didn't have 2 weeks ago. What that means is that we have to think harder about it. Be that much more intentional about pursuing it. But the thing is, we can maintain social distance and still reach out to each other, check in on each other, talk to each other, visit each other, pray for each other. We can respect laws and limitations and still get in the Word together and exhort each other and hold each other accountable to what God has shown us. We can be responsible citizens and still problem solve together, help each other, feed each other, clothe each other, serve each other. We don't have to be in the same room to mentor or counsel or encourage each other. We have more ways of communicating than at any point in history. At one point yesterday afternoon, and I didn't do it on purpose, I was struck when it happened. At one point yesterday afternoon, I had on my computer an email from one of my mentors giving me advice about this season. So I had an email from a mentor. I was on the phone with an intern, somebody that I'm mentoring. A message on Facebook popped up, somebody asking for counsel. And I got a text on my phone, just a word of encouragement from another pastor, a pastor friend of mine. We can communicate. Even if we all end up quarantined, sheltering in place, in hermetically sealed containers apart from one another. COVID-19 can't keep us from talking. And COVID-19 must not keep us from loving and serving each other. We must not let it stop us from being the church. And personally, I don't think it's going to. Satan wants it to. And I'm not saying COVID-19 is an attack from the enemy, but I do think he's happy about it. I think Satan is rubbing his hands together with glee. I think he's jumping up and down saying, this might be the thing that brings down the church. At the very least, it's going to be the thing that distracts the church and scatters the church. Here's what he may not be remembering. What happened last time Satan scattered the church? We've been reading about it in the book of Acts, haven't we? When the people who were scattered turned the world upside down in the name of Jesus. I think by scattering us a little, COVID-19 could end up strengthening us a lot. I'm praying that it will. I'm praying that this will be the season that awakens the church and unleashes the church and shows the world there's more to the church than meets the eye. I hope this season shows the world Jesus Christ alive in the church. In a few moments, I'm going to ask some members of our pastoral team to join me up here on the platform, and we'll talk about some of the plans and projects we have underway, some of the communications vehicles and other things in place to help us be the church during this season, to help foster community. But before I do, let's wind up this portion of our service by getting practical. I know that this isn't a normal Calvary Chapel, Wichita study. Don't worry. Next week in 1 Thessalonians, and unless God steers us in a different direction, we'll be back in the deep weeds where you're used to being. But any study, even an overgrown devotion like this one, has three parts. It has the what and the so what and the now what. What's our now what this morning? The so what is that there's no such thing as virtual church. Church is community. So what's the now what? The now what is what God calls each of us to do to build that community. And to jumpstart your prayer about that, I'm going to give you three things, two things, and one thing. Three things. Who are three people you can reach out to this week? Three people that you can check in on, connect with, talk to, remind them that they're loved, that they're not alone. And I'm saying three people that you don't normally stumble across, three people that you wouldn't talk to in the ordinary course of an ordinary week. Three people that you're going to make an effort to, three people that if you don't reach out to, you're not sure that anybody is going to, that you want to make sure, remember, no one remember that they're loved. Two. That's three things, two things. What are two things you can ask for this week? Two ways in which the body of Christ can love and serve you. We hate this one, don't we? We don't like asking for help. We're sturdy Midwesterners. We pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. That's why I'm making it two. Because if I just said one thing, you'd turn to the person next to you in your living room and you'd say, hey, pray for me and I'll pray for you. Check the box. Okay, we did it. Now, work a little harder than that. Let people serve you. Think of two ways in which they can. If prayer is one of them, that's great, but make it real. Ask someone to pray for something specific and concrete and meaningful. Make the other one super practical. Do you need a ride? Do you need food? Do you need a word of encouragement? Do you need some counsel? Do you need help around the house? Because the thing is, church isn't church until we're willing to ask. Church isn't church until we're willing to let that happen. And then finally, one. Three people to reach out to. Two things you're going to ask for. And then one. Who's the one person that you can introduce to Jesus this week? And I'm hoping there's more than one, and I'm hoping that we'll all stay sensitive to the divine appointments that the Holy Spirit places in our path throughout the week. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the one person that you know right now. The one person who's already in your life. The person that you know doesn't know Jesus. The person that you know that God has been calling you to talk to about Jesus. And you've been putting it off. Three people that you're going to reach out to that are believers, that are part of the body. Two things you're going to ask for, and one person that you're going to have a conversation with this week. And you're going to invite them to be part of this community. That's one of the things about being church. At the end of the day, we're just beggars, but we get to go tell the other beggars where we've found the bread. Who's one person that you can say, yeah, we're all sinners? We've all looked at right and wrong and chosen wrong, and that choice separated us from the God who created us. And that separation would have been eternal. We would have been apart from God forever in this life and in eternity if it wasn't for Jesus. Jesus, who came from heaven, fully man and fully God, to die for our sin. He paid the price for our sin. He died in our place. And only Jesus could do that. He had to be man so that he could die. The wages of sin is death. We would have died an eternal death if we had died in our own sin. But Jesus, being not only fully man but fully God, could die a death for me and for you and for every person who has ever lived. 2,000 years ago, he did that on a cross on a hill called Calvary. And in doing that, he gave every one of you who's listening an invitation. believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he lived and died, and that his death is sufficient to pay the price for your sin, that his death purchased your forgiveness. Believe that's true. Put your trust in that. And you can be, will be forgiven, and have now and forever eternal life with God, God who created you, God who loved you so much that if you had been the only person who ever lived, he still would have sent Jesus to die for you. If you've never taken that step, it's possible that you've stumbled across this live stream by accident. You're watching because you're Facebook friends with somebody else who's watching. And maybe you've never made the decision to trust in Jesus for your salvation. If you want to, if you're ready to. I don't want to talk you into anything. But if as I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit is also speaking to your heart and you know what I'm saying is true, why not ask Jesus into your life right now? Why not accept that offer of forgiveness that he purchased 2,000 years ago right now? Pray with me right now. It's not the words that are important. It's the desire in your heart, the willingness to be forgiven, knowing that you need to be, knowing that you can be because of Jesus. If you're ready, pray with me right now. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I'm a sinner who needs to be forgiven. Come into my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Teach me what it is to follow you and live for you. And when I die, bring me home to heaven to enjoy eternity with you forever. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, welcome to the family. Welcome to the community of believers. Welcome to a group of people that you will spend forever with. And we'd like to start being family to you right now. Would you let us know that you took that step? You can comment on the Facebook stream. You can reach out to the church. We'd love to know what happened today. We'd love to know how we can pray for you and help you, get you some materials to get you started. If you're in this area, connect you with some of our pastors, some of our pastors' wives, or if you're far away, maybe get you plugged into a church community that's closer to you. In any case, we're blessed to have had the opportunity to share Jesus with you. Three people to reach out to. Two ways to ask for help. One conversation about Jesus. And zero reasons to be afraid. The Upper Room Discourse, the night before Jesus was crucified, he said to his disciples, "I'm going to be leaving." Jesus said, "I'm not going to be in this place with you for very much longer. I'm going to be loving you from far away." But he said, "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit in my place, and he will indwell each of you and empower you to be my witnesses." That power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you, will ignite spiritual gifts within you, and you will pick up where I left off, carrying the truth of the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ to the world. That's our ministry, family. That's our opportunity. That's our privilege as his church. And I'm looking forward to hearing a lot of stories about how that plays out in the coming days. Lord, thank you for this time in your word. Thank you for the technology that you've given us to teach your word across time and space. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to teach us what it is to be family, to be community, to be your church as we occupy until you return. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. I'm joined at this time by Pastor Rob and Pastor Juan and Pastor James. And as I said, we want to spend a few minutes talking about some of the things that are already underway, some of the plans and preparations that we have made, that we are making, that we hope to make in coming days to facilitate everything that we've been talking about together this morning, being community, being the church. So let's start off with the most basic things, Rob. We can't be community if we can't communicate. What are some ways that we're putting in place to be able to do that?
So I would say the two most prolific ways right now are things that we've already had in place. The first is going to be Simple Church. For those of you that are already signed up and enrolled, you'll be receiving emails that have regular updates and important information, things that we'll continue to mention here during this portion of service. Those of you who aren't enrolled, you can enroll easily by sending me your name, phone number, and email address, and you can send those emails to rob@ccwichita.org, and we'll throw that in the comments. For those of you that have like this memory that you've signed up for Simple Church, you get an email, but I was talking to somebody in the comments about like, hey, how can we access other people's emails to encourage them and send them? Well, that's going to be through the Simple Church directory. And so if you're unfamiliar with how to access that, or you're not familiar with the Simple Church app for iPhone or Android, you can shoot those questions over to me at rob@ccwichita.org, and we'll be sure that that system that we already have in place is being used to help everyone be the church right now. The second major vehicle we're going to be using is Facebook. So if you're watching this on Facebook Live right now, then just bookmark our CCW Facebook page. Whenever we try and announce something important, we'll try and cross-post that. Be sure that, you know, you'll get a Facebook notification. The letter that went out over Simple Church on Friday, talking about changes to services, also got posted on Facebook. And if we incorporate any other platforms, we'll communicate using these platforms that we already have in place to sort of help direct you over there. But I guess the other good place would be to keep an eye on ccwichita.org.
Okay. And we're going quickly for some of you who are saying, wait, simple what? Simple where? Simple who? We'll send some how-to instructions out over Facebook and through our email directory with Simple Church, walking you through some of what Rob just said. If you're like me, it's easier to read it than it is to hear it. The other thing we'd encourage you to do, and Rob, if I'm saying this wrong, correct me. If you know someone that you suspect may not be part of our church directory, which is understandable because we don't do formal membership, and this is one of those times where that hurts us. We don't know that everybody who calls Calvary Wichita home is captured in that directory. And in some cases, that might be by choice. But in other cases, it just might be error or omission. Shoot us their information. We will check with them. We're not going to spam anybody. We're not going to sign anyone up against their will. But if you're saying, this person is new, this person I haven't seen for a little bit, but maybe this is a time where they'd want to get plugged in, this person sort of hangs around the periphery, if you're not sure that they're part of our database, send us their information, and we'll ask them if they want in. And doing that to rob@ccwichita.org, is that the best way to do that?
Yeah, certainly.
Okay. So Rob, as long as you've got the microphone, we're going to miss you doing announcements for a while. How do we get the things we're used to you telling us about on Sunday mornings?
So we'll continue to produce a bulletin, even though it's going to look a little bit different. But now even more so, there's going to be a lot of things that we want to communicate, a lot of resources and things that we want to pass along. So we're going to try and communicate that in a bulletin-ish form through Simple Church. Those emails, that's another great reason to sign up, through Facebook and on our website, ccwichita.org. So right now, the name of the game is sort of saturation, and then as we get everyone's attention, we'll try and focus on down to a couple streams that work best for everyone.
Bulletin-ish. I like that. So another part of community is smaller groups, as Rob wipes off the microphone so we maintain social distance here. Part of community is smaller groups. Juan, how are we going to do smaller groups if we're not all in the same place at the same time?
So the main vehicle that we're going to be using is Zoom, Zoom meetings. Apparently, as I've been talking to more and more people, many businesses, organizations, educational organizations are all actually using this already. And I know that I believe that Kansas schools are going to actually start using that for their vehicle to be able to communicate with students and continue education during this time.
Yeah, I think Zoom has made their product available to any school that wants to use it for free.
I'm pretty sure. So it's a great program. Kind of think about Skype, but beefed up a lot. It has a lot of capabilities, but it's still user-friendly. And so what we will be doing is making sure that all of our small group leaders, men's study, women's study, prayer, youth will be using it. We used Messenger, and I think they're still on there right now, and it was not quite as sufficient as I wanted it to be. So very excited to move over to Zoom, but it allows everyone to video chat with a main moderator that can even screen share, so sharing videos and everything. There's also an option to just dial in on your cell phone, which I think is actually one of the coolest features. If you're not someone who is particularly tech savvy, or you just the idea of, you know, trying to find the right place to get a good headshot that doesn't look scary, you can dial in a number per meeting. So as your small group leader sends out that information, probably via Simple Church email groups or through Facebook, you can actually just dial in and have it on your cell phone and be able to hear all the audio.
Even from a landline.
Even from a landline. If those still exist. No, I'm just kidding. but yeah, no, really excited for it. For youth, we're going to be using that for Wednesdays and Sundays, both junior high and high school specific. And I'm even going to start inviting guest teachers, which is kind of cool. Something I'd never thought about before, but the ability to actually bring in people that maybe have done conferences with us, Unfiltered's with us before, or those that we've met in ministry over the years. I believe that I will have someone teaching our high school and junior high from either coast and at least one other country. If I work a little bit harder, I can probably get more than one other country. So really excited for that. I think it's going to be a great way to be able to feel like you're still interacting face to face, but still be in your home, whether we're on full quarantine or whether we're on partial quarantine.
So you did a virtual youth group this morning on Messenger, yep. But going forward, transitioning to Zoom.
Yep, transitioning to Zoom. We were only allowed 8 people on the call, so we got creative and we made it work. But Zoom allows over 100 people per call. That information, again, if that is we tracking, and I'm not for sure which app and all that, we will be sending out an email via Simple Church and also posting on Facebook late afternoon into the evening today with links to download and also tutorial videos. They have a very comprehensive tutorial video. If that's easier for you to watch a YouTube video to be able to see, this is how I create my account. But mostly for every user, it's just create an account and click on the link when we send it to you. So it shouldn't be too complicated.
And we're genuinely hoping that the technology, that the platforms, that the apps are going to facilitate communication. Some of you who hear apps and you start to grip things. There are people here, not named Patrick, who want to help you with this. We had a bunch of people on a conference call most of yesterday afternoon. And so as you're installing things and setting things up, we're going to let you know how to get in touch with a real life person that you know who can help talk you through it. We test drove this yesterday with some people who are of average technical literacy, maybe not as bad as me, but almost, and they weren't having any problems. So we're definitely here to help.